Today, Shir's Masechta Bava Basra and Daf Samach Tes. We will begin with the Mishnah at the bottom of Daf Samach Ches Amud Beis. In the Mishnais, in this paragraph, we have learned about selling different items, houses, cities, bathhouses. Today, we're going to learn about selling a field. Again, it's speaking about where it was written stum. It was not clearly explained what is included in the field. And that's what our Mishnah is going to tell us, what is included and what is not included. We will find in our Mishnah halachas which are different than what we've learned before in this perek. Until now, we've learned that things that are metaltalin are usually not included in the sale, whereas things that are kavua, more permanent structures, are included in the sale to the lekeach. And in this Mishnah by Asada, we will see certain halachas that go against that klal for various reasons. And the first example is the first case in the Mishnah. Hamoicher es hasada, someone who sells a field and doesn't explain what is being included in that sale. So we say that the following items are definitely included. The stones that are needed for the purpose of the sada, and the Gemara will explain what the purpose of these stones are and what kind of stones they are exactly. We'll see that in the Gemara. And here we see right away that even though these stones are metaltalin, and you would think since they're movable, they're not included in the sale, but since they have a specific function for this particular field, and usually they're not moved from one field to the other, therefore they are considered part of the sale to the lekeach. He gets these stones as well. Also included are vesakonim, the reed shebekarim, which are in the vineyard, sheheim litzorchoi, which are for the purpose of the vineyard. The Gemara will explain what exactly reeds are necessary in a vineyard. The Rashbam says that meanwhile we see from this halacha that the kerem, a vineyard that's part of a sada, is included in the sale of the sada. And we're going to see in our Mishnah further that actually all trees are included in the field of a sada, with the exception of two trees that are very chashuv, they're very important, and they are not included in the sale. Continues the Mishnah, part of the sale is also grain that is attached to the karka, also the lekeach gets it. The Gemara will explain exactly what the chiddush is in this halacha. The es chitzas hakonim, and the thickets of reeds, which the Meiri says was put into the field in order to make a simon, a sign exactly where the boundary between one field and another is. If this thicket of reeds, shehi pechusa, mibeis roiva, if it takes up less than a quarter of a kav of area, so then it is considered bottle to the field, it's part of the field, it is part of the sale to the loikeach. The es, hashemira she'ena asuya betit, also a watchman's hut, which was a very non-permanent structure, and it may have been some reeds that were put together without plaster. It wasn't plastered with clay, so then it's included in the sale. However, if it is plastered with clay, then it is not part of the sale. The es hacharuv she'ena morkov. Now comes the first of the two trees that is part of the sale. And the Rashbam explains it's not only these two trees, because as we said before, all trees are part of the sale. But since if you have a churuv, a carob tree, which is morkav, is grafted, that will not be part of the sale. So to the next item, ves besulas hashikma, the sycamore tree, is only part of the sale if it's a psula, if it was not yet pruned. But if it was pruned, then it is not part of the sale. So these two trees are singled out as part of the sale, but the Rashbam explains, don't think it means that other trees are not. All trees are. We're only choosing these two because the opposite of these two, meaning a carob tree that was grafted, that was murkav, or a besula, a sycamore tree, which was cut down, which is called, as we see, the last phrase in the Mishnah, Veloya Sadin HaShikma, then it's called a Sadin HaShikma, which is pruned, is not included. Why is a carob tree that is grafted and a Sadin HaShikma, why are those two trees which are not part of the Mechira? The reason is because at that point when they're grafted, they have to be very old, that they can take the graft. A young carob tree will not be able to take the graft. And if it's a Sadin HaShikma was pruned and other vegetation now, other sycamore saplings will grow in its stead, it becomes very chashiv, both of these trees, and therefore we will say that the moicher did not intend to include it in the mechira. But in our case that we're doing right now, which is the fourth line of the Mishnah, hachruv she'enoy murkav, if it's not grafted, it's young, it's not chashiv, or besulas hashikma, if it's a sycamore tree which was never pruned, so again, it's not chashiv, then it is included in the mechira to the lokeach. And now comes a list of those items that are not included in the sale. Avoloi macholoi esavarim she'enoy lutzorcha. If you have stones which are not for the purpose of the field, then they're not included. Or if you have reeds in a vineyard which are not for the purpose of the vineyard, and the Gemara will explain all of these cases. Or you have grain that's cut off from the ground, that's not considered part of the mechira. That the mocher retains. However, in these three cases, bizman she'omrloi, he, v'chol ma'ashe b'toicha, harei kol mechurin. If he, in fact, stipulates in the shtar that it and everything that's in it is included, then they are all sold. Ve'enkach uve'enkach, loy mocher, even whether or not he writes in the shtar the extra clause of kol ma'ashe b'toicha, or not, whether he includes that or not. But the following four items are never included, unless he would specifically write that I'm selling one or all of these four items. What is not included? Lo yeschitza konem shehi bas roiva, base roiva. If it takes up a quarter of a kav of area, then the thicket of reeds are not included. Again, it's a davar chashuv. It's not included. Veloyas ha-shemira, not a hut, shehiyasuya betit. If it is made with, plastered with clay, then it's not included. Veloyas ha-churuv ha-murkav, and not the carob tree which is grafted, as we explained before. It's chashiv, it's old. It can accept a graft, it's not included. Veloyas sadin ha-shikma, and not the opposite of psulas ha-shikma. The sadin ha-shikma, the sycamore tree which has been pruned, and new saplings grow where it was pruned, then it becomes a very chashuv of a plant, and that is not included in the sale. Now, Rashbam explains, how could it not be included if he wrote, I'm selling you the field, and kol ma'ashe b'toicha? It comes out from our Mishnah that we have three categories. We have those items, the first part of the Mishnah, that are automatically included, macharas avonim, hakonim, the tfuushi muhuberas the karka, the chitza konim shei pchusami base roiva, the shemira shein asui betit, the churv shein amurkav, the basulas the shikma, all of those are automatically included. Then you have the second category of those items that are not included, but if you wrote kol ma'ashe b'toicha, they are included. And then you have the final list of four items, which even if you wrote kol ma'ashe b'toicha, they're not included. Ask the Rashbam, why not? If he wrote, I'm selling you the field and everything that's in it, why would it not include the last four items listed in the Mishnah? And the Rashbam explains. Just like, and the Rashbam says this, he saw it a few times in our sugya. What happens if Reuven sold Shimon two fields and they wrote, I'm selling you the two fields and kol ma'ashe b'toicha. And in between the two fields, there was a third field. Would we say that the third field is included? Avada not. He said, I'm selling you two fields. The third field is such a chashuva entity that even if you were to write, I'm selling you two fields plus whatever's in it, he's not referring to the third field that's between the two outer fields. He means whatever items are in the field, like stones, which are not normally sold with the field, I'm including those stones as well. But Avada not selling you such an entity as a third field. So huadin, the last four items that are mentioned in our Mishnah, the chitz sakonim, which is a base roiva, or the hut, which is plastered with tit, or the churuv amurkov and the sadna shikma, all of those pieces of property are so chashiv that they are like a third field, which are not included in the sale, even if he stipulates in the shtar the added clause of kol ma'ashe b'toicha. Begins the Gemara on Daf's top of Daf Samach Tes Omer Al. My avonim shehein letzarcha. What does the Mishnah mean when it speaks about right at the beginning of the Mishnah, the first case that is included in the sale of a sod, the stones which are for the purpose of the field? What kind of stones are those? So hacha here in Bavel, Targum, they explained it. Avnei da'achbo. The Rashbam learns that these are stones. Let's see the top Rashbam. La'achar shekotzer oimrim menichon oison Once the grain is cut and he wants it to dry out, he puts it down, he lays it down on the ground and he puts on top of it these rocks. Tosfos and the Yad Ramah find difficulty with this pshat in the Rashbam because we have learned in our Mishnah that grain that has been cut is definitely not part of a sale to the lekeach, it's retained by the meicher. So why would I consider the stones that are used for the cut grain, that those are part of the mechira? If the function of the stone is for cut grain, and the cut grain itself is not part of the mechira, then why would these stones that are used for a weight be considered part of the mechira? So if you look in Tosfos, the second Tosfos, who the machson, Tosfos is bothered by this question, and Tosfos says near Luri that when we speak about having to place it down, it means Hainu Shema Oilam Lohinichu Loimachsan means Shema Oilam Lohinichu Aloimrim. Umachsan, placing the rock down on the grain, Hainu Shekvar Hunchu Velav de Machsi Hashta. Tosfos says, we're not speaking about that right now. If you went to the field, you'd see cut grain with the rock on it. Because the grain is not part of the mechira, the exact kash of the Yad Ramah. The grain's not part, why should the rock be part? Rather, he means that this is an instrument. Is it an instrument which is connected with the field or not? So if it was never used as a weight, then has no shachas with the field, and that is not part of the mechira. But if this is a tool that is used in the field by the owner, for a purpose that at some point it was used to hold grain down, so then this becomes an instrument that is sold together with the field. Not that right now it's on grain and it's holding the grain down. If the grain is not part of the mechira, why should the stone that's holding it down? But rather the point is, what's the function of this rock? If this rock is used in the service of the field, at some point it was used as a rock, so then it's considered in the mechira, it was used as a weight on the grain, then it's considered as part of the field. If it was never used as part of, as a weight, then it's not part of the field. That's how Tosfos understands the Gemara. However, the Yad Ramah, because of this kasha, learns an entirely different pshat. He learns that when vines grow, they don't always grow in a straight manner. They'll bend over in a way that the farmer doesn't want it. So he uses the rocks in the growing process of vines that are connected to the ground, which are certainly part of the sale. He'll use those rocks to balance the vines that are growing, that they should grow in the proper direction. So just like the vines are part of the sale, so the rocks which are used on those vines, they are also part of the sale. So learns the Yad Ramah. So in Bavel, they explained that the stones were Avnei de'ichpa, these stones which were weight stones. Rashbam's pshat, Yad Ramah's pshat. Ula Omar, Avonim HaSaduris Legeter, that these are rocks that were prepared to be used in defense. As a machlokes rishonim, exactly what does it mean seduris legeter? Does it mean that it's not a pile that's haphazard, but rather the stones were put in a symmetrical pile, so that already makes it something that's going to be used for a fence, and it's considered part of the field, just like the fence is part of the field. So the stones that are used for, let's say, you have a hole in the fence, so you prepared and symmetrically a nice pile that when you'll need to fix the fence, you'll have these rocks with different sizes and shapes, you'll have them ready to plug up any hole in the getter. So that's part of the mechira. And other Rishonim learned that it's already functioning as a getter, but the pshat is it doesn't have cement. You didn't put the rocks together in cement. They're still loose, but they're closer. And as the question in the Rishonim is, how close does it have to be to the getter? Does it have to be actually there serving part of the getter? Or is it enough that it's a symmetrical pile ready to be used for the getter? So anyway, it's a machlokes, two pshatim here in the Gemara, what these stones, the purpose of the stones is. Ask the Gemara on the second pshat of Ullah, Vatani Rabchi Avonim, Tziburois Legeter. We learned that the stones are not Tziburois, which is they were piled up in a very even, symmetrical pile, but rather Tziburois. It's a pile that is not symmetrical. He took a bunch of rocks that he found, and he just made a pile out of it. And the Gemara answers, Tziburois, that's wrong. Tziburois would not be considered part of the sale of a field. It has to, in some way, have a shape. It's organized in an organized fashion how he piled up these rocks that he's going to use for the fixing of defects. And now the Rashbam says the next four words are like Omar Mar. We learned above. The first pshat in the Gemara in Bavel was Hacha Targima Avnei Da'achpa, that it's stones that weigh down. What do we do with the Machloikis Rav Meir and the Chachamim? What Machloikis are we speaking about with Rav Meir and the Chachamim? Says the Rashbam. This is from the Gemara further in Daf Ayin Chesam at Beis, concerning the sale of a kerem, a vineyard, and the sale of the Tashmishim, the accessories of the vineyard. What is sold and what is not sold. So in that, over there we find that in Amoicha Sesvina we find a fundamental machlokes between Rav Meir and the Chacham. Rav Meir is always on the side of the Lekeach. He says more is always sold. The Rabbanin are more on the side of the Moicher. They say that less is sold. So now we are going to apply the machlokes Rav Meir and the Chachamim in a number of the cases that we have in our Mishnah. So according to Rav Meir, says the Gemara, what does it mean that these stones are used as weight on the cut grain? It means the mesaknut. Mesaknut means they're smoothed out. If you look in the around the seventh line of the Rabbeinu Gershom on the side, on the top of the Amid, he says the meshufin. The mesaknut means the meshufin. They are polished. In other words, that you've prepared, the Rashbam learns, you've designated them. You found rocks, which will looks like they're going to be good for weights, and you designated them, and the Rabbeinu Gershom said, you even polished them up. But, afal gov d'loy machson, even though you didn't put them, according to Rav Meir, the lekeach wins more than the chachamim. It's part of the sale of the field, even though Rashbam says it's even lying outside the field. It's even outside of the field. And the Rashbam says that even though we find in the Gemara further that there has to be, according to a mayor, some kind of kvias, it's not just, it's metaltalin, you can move it, but yet it has to be kavua. So the Rashbam says, yes, it's kavua, even though it's not mechubar lekarka, but the tashmish is for this field. And as usually, when they found rocks in one field that were suitable, they weren't in the business of transporting the rocks from one field to another. So therefore, the function of these found rocks that were designated, or like the Rashbam says, they were even smoothed out for use as a weight, they are rocks that are going to stay in this particular field. They're not going to be moved around. So therefore, even if you have these rocks not in the field, says the Rashbam, but they're considered attached to the field, not by being cemented into the ground, but by their function. The function of these rocks makes them kavua in this karka, and they're sold with the sadeh. However, l'rabbanan, the rabbanan are always on the side of the moicher. They don't give things away so easily as Rabbi Meir does. Who the machzan? It'll have to be speaking about where it wasn't just designated, it wasn't just smoothed out, but rather it was placed on the item itself. Here's where the Yad Ramah comes in, that he says it's hard to think that it means what Rashbam says, that it was placed on cut grain. Because if cut grain's not sold, why should the weights be sold? That's why the Yad Ramah learns that it was placed on vineyard, on vines, in a vineyard that are attached to the ground, and to make sure that they grow in the right direction. Ula ula. Now we go according to the second shot in the rocks. The Amar Avonim has Siduris Legetter, that they have to be prepared to fix a getter. So now again, L'Rab Meir the Misakta. According to Rab Meir, you smoothed out these rocks. Afagav Deloy Sidrin, even though you actually didn't pile them up into a symmetrical shape. The Rabbanan who the Sidrin, according to Rabbanan, if you're just going to designate them, you're going to smooth them out, and you didn't misader them, then the Lekech will not win. Who will win? The Meicher. So according to the Rabbanan who the Sidrin, Sheinichanami, the Rashbam says that Ula that says Avodah Masadurais, he is paskening like the Rabbanan, he's not paskening like Rab Meir. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. The reeds are also sold part of the field, which are necessary for the kerem. Ask the Gemara, the Rashbam explains that normally kanim are grown naturally. The question is, what is the purpose of kanim in a field, in a vineyard? We would think that reeds in a vineyard get in the way of the vines. So why would they be part of the mechira? Amri de Bei Rabbi Yanai, they said from the base medrash of Rabbi Yanai, kanim hamuchulokin, that these are peeled off kanim, their bark has been peeled off, shemamidim tachsakifanim, that you place these kanim, they were specifically placed by the farmer under the grapes, and the Rashbam explains the purpose was that the grapes should not sag onto the ground and get ruined by being on the ground. So these kanim were placed underneath the clusters of grapes on the vine so that they should not fall on the karka and get ruined. So now again, we apply the machlaikis Rav Meir and the Chacham. L'Rav Meir de Mishafyot. Afagav deloy mukman. According to Rav Meir, it's enough if it was smoothed out, these kanim, which were placed under the clusters, even though they were not placed. It's enough. The lekeach wins. But the rabbanan, the lekeach loses. Who the mukman? It has to be actually placed under the clusters and holding up the clusters. Only then do the rabbanan say that the lekeach wins. If they're not placed there, even though they were designated, even though they were smoothed out, the bark was peeled off, it will not be part of the sale. The lekeach will lose. The moicher will retain these kanim. The next case in the Mishnah, the esa tfua mechuberes lekarka, and the tfua that's mechuber lekarka, the chiddush of this is, the chayr, it's a davar pasha, that this tfua belongs to the lekeach, the afagav de matoi le michtza, even though it is ready to be cut off, and the Rashbam says, normally we have a rule that kolo oimid lichtzer kekotzer dummy, so you would have thought that the moicher should win, and he should be able to retain this tool which is ready to be cut off, kamash malan, that it goes to the lekeach. Ask the Rashbam, how do you know it's speaking about tfuah that's ready to be cut off? Maybe we're speaking about tfuah that's not ready to cut off. So the Rashbam says, tfuah that's not ready to cut off, avada would go to the lekeach. The Mishnah wouldn't have to tell us that. Because tfuah that's not ready to cut off, what are we going to say? That it goes to the moicher, and the moicher is going to come back for a few months, and the ground is going to be giving nourishment to the crops of the moicher. It's going to go to the moicher. Tvua that is mechuber lekarka and is not ready to be cut off, that certainly goes to lekeach. You don't have to tell me that. The chiddush is that even though it's ready to be cut off, and I would have said kolay medlikzer kekotzer dami, but still I say that it's considered part of the soda, and it does go together with the soda to the lekeach. The next case of the Mishnah was the es chitzes akarim, the thicket of reeds, That is sold with the field. If it's less, takes up less space than a quarter of a cup. And the chiddush is even though they are strong. And the Rashbam explains, because this has nothing to do with the strength of the reeds, but rather it has to do with the amount of space that those reeds take up. So if they take up a little space, then it's not a makom chashuv, then it's not retained by the meicher, goes to lekech. If it's larger than a base roiva or larger, as we'll see later in the Gemara, even if the reeds are weak, but then it takes up a chashuv amount of space, and therefore it is a separate property, and it's not considered part of the mechira. The next case of the Mishnah is Vesa Shamira and the hut of the watchman, She'ein Asui Batita, was not made with plaster, it was not plastered with clay, even though it is not in the ground. So here is the chiddush, that even though it's not in the ground, and according, we said in the Hagdamah Tar Mishnah, in our Mishnah we're going to find that things that are movable, and we would say it goes with the moicher, according to the klolim we've had in this whole perek, and yet here we say it goes to the lekeach. Because in our Mishnah, it's totally, is it choshev, is it a separate entity or not? So if it is not a suya batit, even though it's not kviya bakarka, so it's really like a bunch of wood that really could be moved from place to place, but the Meiri, in fact, speaks out that this ramshackle hut, it could be even made of reeds, and it's not plastered with clay, there's no cement. So because it's such a flimsy structure, that's why we look at it as if it's a bunch of boards that are lying on the field, and it's bottled to the field. People don't consider it a separate entity. However, as we're going to see further, that if it is plastered with tit, then even if it is kavua in the karka, according to the klolim we've had in the other Mishnayos, something that's a structure that's part of the, it's in the ground, that is part of the mechira. But here it works just the opposite. Here, the more flimsy it is, if it's not with tit, even though it's not kavua ba'ara, and it's flimsy, and it's portable, but that makes it bottle to the karka. Whereas, if it's going to have tit, even if it's kavua ba'karka, as we're going to see further, then it's considered a chush of a structure, and that chush of a structure was not sold together with the field. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. The esach ruv sheina murkav es psulas hashikma. These two items are considered like regular trees, and regular trees are always sold with the field. And afal gavdil limi, even though they're strong, but they still don't have enough cheshivas to be considered that they were not part of the mechira. They're bottled to the sada, and they are part of the mechira of the sada. Now comes the list of items which the Mishnah spoke about, which are not part of the mechira. Avaloi machar, the girsa sabach, loyes avonim she'enim letzorcha, stones that were not for the purpose of the sada are not sold. And now we refer back to the machloikes that we had on the top of the yamit. What were these stones used for when they are part of the mechira? Lamandi omar avnei da'achpo, according to the mandi omar that says that stones that were used for weights are considered as part of the sada. So, the Rav Meir, according to Rav Meir, who's always on the side of Lekeach, so when is it considered not part of the field, not used, La'ena Litzorcha, that's the Loi Nesaknon. If they weren't designated, they weren't smoothed out, then they're not part of the Mechira. The Mocha retains them. L'Rabbanon, the Loi Machson. According to Rabbanan, if they weren't placed, even they were designated, even they were polished, but the Rabbanan are always more on the side of the Meicher. So the Rabbanan are going to say, if you didn't go to the nth degree to actually place them, or according to Tosfos, to at least have used them constantly as a utensil for the field, so then they're not going to go to the Lekeach, they're going to go to the Meicher. According to Ula's Pshat, what were the purpose of these rocks? That these were stones that were prepared to be used for a fence. So when does it not become part of the sale? L'Rameir, according to Rameir, Deloy Mesaknon. It will be speaking about he didn't designate him. He didn't polish them up. He didn't smooth them out. L'Rabbanan, even if he did smooth them out, he did designate them. Deloy Sidron, if he didn't actually pile them up or make them part of defense, he didn't go to that level, then it's not considered part of the sada, it's not part of the sale, and the moicher retains them. And now we go to the next part. If you have reeds in a vineyard that are not for the purpose of the vineyard, not part of the sale. What is that speaking about? Rav Meir, again, according to Rav Meir, Deloy Mishafyon. He didn't smooth them out. He didn't peel off the bark. L'Rabbanan, Deloy Mukman. The Rabbanan say that the Moicher wins even if he designated them, even if he took off the bark. But still, if he didn't place them where? Underneath the clusters, as we learned before, these were holding up the clusters, that they shouldn't go under earth and get dirty and get ruined. If he didn't place them there, then it's on then the moicher wins, the lekeach loses. It's not part of the sale. V'loya said tfuish hatlushim in a karka. If you have tfuah that's cut off from the karka, not part of the sale. What's the chiddush? Of course, the moicher retains that. Afal gav nitzrichal ara, even though it's cut off, but it still needs the ground. As the Rashbam explained, why does it need the ground? Because they used to place the grain on the field after the ksira so that it could air out and it could dry up. It should air out from the smell of the karka and it should get dry. So I would have thought that it is part of the mechira. Kamashmo, it's not part of the mechira. The next case of the Mishnah, and now the Rashbam says an interesting thing, that we have a Gemara here where we take every line of the Mishnah and it's like a Rashi commentary. We say a line of the Mishnah, a phrase, and like Rashi's explaining it. That's how the Rashbam explains this Gemara here. The next phrase in the Mishnah was Veloya satfu atlu shemana karka. We learned that already. V'afak of the tzrichalar Veloy eschitza sakonim shei bas roiva. If it's a bas base roiva, it's a quarter of a kav, then it's chashiv, then it's not part of the mechira. V'afak of diktini, even though it is Rashbam konim dakim, even though the konim are very thin and they're not strong, but it's not totally in strength. It's totally in land size. If it takes up the space of a quarter of a kav, so then it's chashev, even though it's thin, and it's not part of the mechir. Amar b'chibar, abar b'yachadet, loy chitzis hakonim b'var, ela fila ruga k'tana shal psamim, v'yesh l'shem b'fnei atzma eina nimcheres ima. It's not only in this case of chitzis hakonim. By chitzis hakonim, it's totally on size. If it's a quarter of a kav, it's not part of the sale. Less than a quarter of a kav, it is part of the sale. But even by other things, let's say psamim, fragrant herbs, and it's less than a quarter of a kav, that already is considered chashuv, that it's not considered part of the sale, but it has to have its own name. In other words, people have to refer to it as, oh, look in that sada, look in that field, there's some fragrant herbs there. People recognize that it is a separate section of the field. So then in the Chanami, it's not included in the sale. Amara Papa, there's one other provision. Vuhu, the coral of Varda de Planya. That's only if they call it the rose garden of that fellow. In other words, this is only an example. If you're speaking about roses, so if people talk to each other and they say, let's go and see Yankel's rose garden. So if it has a shame meyuchad, it's known that he has a beautiful rose garden. Let's go see Yankel's rose garden. Let's see how his roses are doing. So then it's considered a separate entity and it's not part of the sale of the field. V'loy hashemira, not the watchman's hut, ha'asuya betit. Even though it's attached to the ground. Again, this is against all the klolim we've learned in this whole parak. We've learned always that the more movable an item is, it's less in the mechira. And here in our mission, it's the opposite. Our mission, it's totally, is it a separate entity or not? So if it's a ramshackle hut that's not kavua ba'ara, and it doesn't have tit, we learned before, then that's considered like a pile of boards on your field that are negligible and they're considered part of the field, they're sold. However, if you have a hut that's plastered with clay, even though it's attached to the ground, but it's considered a separate unit, and it's not part of, it's chashuv, and it's not part of the mechira. The Marshal takes out the words in the parentheses. So we will start with Boy Rabbi Lozer, as the Rashbam explains. Since we just made a chilek between something plastered or not, we're going to go not to a field, we're going to go to a house. Boy Rabbi Lozer, Melavne Shopsachm, if you have doorstops of doors on the moldings you have around the door, they're on the top, they're on the bottom, and the door, as the Rashbam explains, uses these moldings as a doorstop. The question is, were these sold with the house or not? Mau. So, heich the mechaber betina, if they were attached with the clay, so then loy tebarach, there's no question, don mechaber, that's considered part of the house, and of course it's sold. Kita boyalach, then a kita besichi. My only question is, when they're attached to the house with pegs, which are easily removable. So my, what's the halacha? Do I say that since, after all, they are mechuber with the pegs, they're part of the house? Or do I say that since they're easily removable, they're not considered part of the house and they're not sold? My, what's the din? The answer is teiku, Eliyahu HaNavi will have to answer that question. Boy, Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira had a follow-up question. As the Rashbam explains, Imtim Tzoloimer. If you're going to tell me that these movable pegs by a door are considered part of the house, and they are part of the sale, what's the din with Malavne Shechaloinis Ma? What happens if they're moldings around a window? Because those are only made for beauty. Mi Amrin Lenoi Ba'amahud Avidi. Do I say that they're only for decorating purposes, and therefore the Moicher can say, I want to take them with me? Oy Dilma Kivin the Mechabri Mechabri. Or do I say that after all they're connected, and therefore they should be connected. So the Rashbam explains that the question over here is that they are connected with the pegs. But if you say that by a door they are part of it, do I say that by windows as well? Or do I say that since it's only for beauty, he didn't mean to sell it. He wanted to take it with him. He didn't want to sell it to the king. Again, teiku. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah. Malavne shakari amita, mau. In those days, they used to have pieces of wood around the bottom of a bed so that the bottom of a bed, which was on the ground, should not become rotted from the ground. And these boards were not even attached to the bed. They were just placed on the bed. They're quite, mau, what's the din? In Tim Tzoloimer, again, the Rashbam says in the first two cases that they are considered part of the window, they are considered part of the door. What about over here? Mau, what's, so the Gemara says, here's the din. If these boards are always moved together with the bed, when you move it, let's say from one room to another, you're going to move these boards with, since they're moved with the bed, they're considered part of the bed, and they're part of the sale. When do I have a question? What's it then? My, when it's not moved, is it considered part of the bed of a sale or not? The Gemara says, teiku, this too will have to wait till Eliyahu HaNavi. Now what, halacha, what does a bezdin do when they get such a shiloh? So the Yad Ruma says that we have a rule by teiku, hamoitzim mechaveroi olavaraya. But since the person who bought the house, for example, and he owns certainly the doors, so we say he's considered a muchzik on the moldings as well. And instead of the lekeach being a moitzi from the morakama, the Yad Ruma says it'll be the opposite. The moicher, the morakama, will have to be moitzi mechaver olavaraya from the muchzik of the lekeach, because everybody is moited, the lekeach is a muchzik on the house. He's a muchzik on the doors. So he's also considered a muchzik on the moldings, and it would be a moitzi mechaver olavaraya. The moicher would have to prove that it was not part of the sale, otherwise the lekeach would keep it. The next part of the Mishnah states, these two items are not, even though they're trees which are normally part of a sale of a field, but they're so chashiv that they're not considered part of the sale. As we turn to the Samach Tes Amid Beis, ask the Gemara, Mino Hani Mili. And here this top Rashbam uses the same mashal he gave before. Why And as the Mishnah told us a Chiddush, that even if you wrote Kol Mashu B'Toicha, it's not going to include the last four items listed in the Mishnah, and the last two of those four items were these two trees. So why? What's the reason it's not included? He wrote Kol Mashu B'Toicha. The answer is that they're considered like a third field. Just like if I sold you two fields, and in them between the two fields, there was a third field, and I wrote Kol Mashu B'Toicha. No one's going to say that I meant to include the third field that's in the middle. So too, these different trees, which are very choshev, are considered like a third field, and they're not considered part of the sale. Ask the Gemara, Minani Mili, how do I know the choshev trees don't have the same din as regular trees, which are always part of the sale? So, and the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, the Kibbutz Shurim, has a whole discussion here. Why specifically in the whole Gemara do we zero in on this halacha to find a pasuk? On all the other dinim, we didn't ask where do you know it arrived from the Torah. I and Shum in the Kibbutz Shurim who addresses this question. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav says, I have a pasuk from the sale of the Maris HaMachpelah from Ephron to Avram. The Amar Korda pasuk says, Vayakum stay Ephron. Asher b'machpelah, and the Bach continues the pasuk, and so we find in the Rashbam as well. The cholo eitz asher b'sada, asher b'chol gvulay saviv. So the pasuk says that Avram was koine the Moris HaMachpelah, and he was koine all the trees that were in the border around the Moris HaMachpelah. So, as the Rashbam explains, this is really an extra wordage here. It could have said, Chol ha'etz asher b'sada, which we understand means inside the borders of the field. Why does it add b'chol gevuloi? Why does it add b'chol gevuloi sav? Why is that included? So I learned the pasuk like this. Mi shetzarech l'gvul, the Bach takes out the word sav of here. Mi shetzarech l'gvul, only trees that need a border, which means regular trees. Yatsu elu she'en tzrich l'gvul sav. They don't need a border around it. In other words, if I were selling regular trees, so then, in order to make sure that you know which trees are being sold to you, I would have to designate around the trees a border. However, these chashuva trees, a sycamore tree that is not a besula, but it's been pruned and it's very valuable, or a churuv amurk of a carob tree that's grafted, that's very old and it's able to accept the graft, and it's very chashiv. So on those two types of trees, they're so prominent trees and worth a lot of money that you don't need an extra border around it. Everybody knows Reuven. Oh yeah, he owns the old sycamore tree. He owns the old grafted carob tree without a border. So in other words, which trees were included in the sale of the Moris HaMachpelah? Those were regular trees which require a border around it. But these chashuva trees that don't need a border so that one will realize what trees we're talking about, so those are not included in the sale. Let's say Avram had those trees over there, they would not have been included in the sale from Ephraim to Avram. Amar Rav Misharsha, Mikan L'mitzar Menatar. We learn another halacha here as well. Since the pasuk says that from the trees that are on the Gvul Saviv, so we learn out that someone who buys a field, that he bought the boundaries and all the trees that are planted on the boundary, we say that the boundary itself is considered part of the field. And that's learned from the word saviv, around, that all trees that are planted in the ground, which are being used as, the trees themselves are being used as a demarcation of what the boundary is around the field, all those trees were purchased by Avram as part of the Moris HaMachpelah, and they also are included in every sale of a field. Am Rav Yehuda, said Rav Yehuda, Hai man, the mizbin ara lechavre, a person who sells land to his friend. Sorach lemiftevle, he has to write in the shtar, kani loch, diklin, vitolin, vehutzin, vitzitzin. Diklin are palms, Tall, and the Rashbam says, are saplings, young palms. Hutzen and Tzitzen are other kinds. Gam Heiminei to call them, says the Rashbam, as we find in Sukkah. Daf Chav Tesav with Beis. Tzinei Hara Barzel are Ksherin. And some say that they don't provide any fruit. So if you're selling that as part of the sale, you have to write it in the shtar. V'afa gav dechiloi kosov lehochi kani, even though, as we learned at the beginning of today's shir, that all trees are included in a sale, with the exception of the churuv hamurkav and the sadin hashikma. So even if you don't write that these various palm trees are included in the sale, they're going to be included. So even if I wouldn't write it kani, he would be kind of afilahachi. You should still write it in the shtar. The Moichah should write it for the lekech in the shtar. Why? Shufra the shtarhu. This is an enhancement of the shtar. Machloikis between the Rashbam and the Rashba that's brought down in the Shita Mekabetzes. The Rashbam says, why is this an enhancement of the shtar? Because you might have this case come in front of a Bezdin Taya, a Bezdin that's making a mistake, and they won't know the halacha that when you sell a field that includes all the trees in it. So therefore, in order to avoid that, write it beferish in the shtar, and then there won't be any problem. However, the Rashba learns a different pshat, and the lashon of the Rashba here is a beautiful lashon, v'zeh l'shoyne. The Shita Mekabetzes brings it down. Nira li, says the Rashba, the lashon chachamim sholem, that the chachamim's language is always one of peace. Ukedei l'salik hatarumais, in order... Not like the Rashbam learns, in case it comes to a Bezdin Toya, that they will adjudicate it correctly because it will be written in the shtar. No. The case won't even come to Bezdin. The Chachamim wanted to make sure that Machloikas is avoided in Klal Yisrael. Kedei l'salik hatarumois, in order to abstain from having disagreements between people. Omar Kain, Kloimar, Shufra the shtarahu. This is the beauty, this is the enhancement of a shtar. The lav kuliyama dina gemiri, not every lekeach knows the halachas, not every moichu knows the halachas. Lechihechi, the loylesi, linsui, they shouldn't come to fight. Tzorech lefarishkein, bishtora yafa. You have to explain it and clearly enunciate it in the shtar. V'lo yitztarech, that if this is written clearly in the shtar, the case will never come to adjudication. It'll never come in front of a Bezdin. That's what the Chachamim were looking for in a shtar, not because of a Bezdin Toya, but that the Lekeach and the Moichah should get together and Bisholem, and there shouldn't be any Machloikis. So this is a beautiful enhancement of the shtar, because Sholem is so important. Continues the Gemara. Now the Gemara is going to state three piskei halacha, three related halachas. Omar le, if in the shtar it stated, ara vidikli, that the ground and the column, the Rashbam says that the miyat of dikli is shnayim, so then chazinan. So this is really like two mechiras, explains the Rashbam. I'm selling you a piece of ground. So included in that ground are all the trees, all the kolam that are in that ground. But besides that, I said, vidikli, I meant to sell you, besides that, two other dekolam. So chazinin, iyis le dikli, if he has two other dekolam to sell, yov le tree dikli, he gives him the ground with all the trees, plus another two dekolam. But vi less le, but if he has no dekolam, zovin le tree dikli, then he has to buy, the lekech has to buy two dekolam. Even though the Rashbam says this was a dover shalai bali oilam, he never had an extra to the column. So the Chari really has no chiev to include that. But since, as the Rashbam says, that he should not be considered mechusar amana, he should not be considered a man who's not trustworthy. Therefore, he should go out and buy two trees. Otherwise, he should subtract the value of the two trees from the amount of money that the lekeach owes him. Ve'i mishabde, and if these trees, he has trees, but they're meshubit to a malva. There's a lien on them to someone who he owes a debt to. Parak leitradikli, he should pay off and redeem two trees from the amount of the kolam that is meshubit to the malva, and he should give those trees to the lekeach. What happens if a second halacha? If he said not ara vidikli, but ara bidikli, he said ground with the dekolim, chazinan, iyis badikle, the Bach Skirs is Vina is Vina. If the ground has the kli, because the pshat over here is I'm selling you ground, not with an additional two dekalim, but I'm selling you ground which has in it already the dekalim. So if it has the dekalim, then it's a good mechira. The lav, but what happens if you sold him a plot of ground? And he said, I'm going to sell you with the dekalim, but he didn't have any dekalim. Then mekach tosu, then the money goes back, the whole deal is off. The Rashbam explains, even though we have halacha einoy noa bekarka, that there is no oinoa by karka, there's no then that the sale is bottle by karka, that's only if he overcharges him more than a shtus, where normally by metaltalin it would be a bittel of the mekach, it would be a mekach tos, it would be oino, the deal would be off. However, by karka, when the price was too high, we say, ain't I know, because even if it was more than a shtus. However, if he doesn't deliver on what he promises, that's part of the sale, then even by carcass, says the Rashbam, there is a concept of mekatos, and the deal is off, he has to return him the money. What happens to the third halacha? He said, ara beidikla. Ara beidikla means this is a place which is worthy, it is good for the kolim. Now, what happens if he, then the lekeach comes to Bezdin and says, hey, he sold me this. He said it's a land good for the kolam, and there's no dekolam on it. So the din is, lesle dikle. Bezdin will say to lekeach, he didn't promise you he's going to sell you the kolam. He promised you he'd sell you ground which has the kolam. So the chazile dikle kamarle. What he was trying to tell you was, and the Bach puts in the words, my timer. What's the reason why you don't get the column? There's no mekach tos here. It's because he wasn't promising you the column. He was saying it's a land which is worthy for the column. The Rashbam speaks out that ain't a chanami. If it was, there were the column on it, of course, the keach would get it. Because what he meant to say in that terminology is that this is a great place for the column, and as the column that the Sada has is going to give you great pay rise. You're gonna have a lot of fruit. Avada den de lekech gets it. But if there are no dekolim, it's not considered a mekach tos. Amarle, what happens in the next case? Labar midik laplanya. He says, I'm selling you this ground except for that one palm tree. So chazina, idik latava havu, if it's a good bearing dekel shiure shiare. So we say that he was selling him everything else, but this one palm tree he's keeping for himself because he wanted to get some benefit, some fruit from this dekel. But e dikla bishu, what happens if it is an inferior dekel? As the Rashbam explains, because it produces less than a kav a day, if it produces a kav, so then the Rashbam says that it is considered a good bearing dekel. But here it's speaking about where it produced less than a kav. So the Gemara says, idikla bishahu, if it's a bad one. So koshrin hanach. So if he said, I want to keep that one. So let's say in this field, the Rashbam says there's better ones than this one and there's worse ones. So the worse one, says the Rashbam, ain't a chanami, that's part of the mechira. But this one, which is inferior, and he wants to keep the inferior one. So certainly, Kolshken, he wants to keep the better ones. So the inferior ones and all the ones that are better than the inferior one will not be part of the Mechira. The ones that are worse than this one, which is not so good itself, but the ones that are worse, that will be part of the Mechira. Omar Le Labar Milone. What happens if he said, I'm selling it to you except for trees? So he is like only if he has. So normally the way we understand this Gemara is that an ilah means a fruit-bearing tree. It does not include a dekel, a palm. It does not include gufni, which are vines, are not normally called trees. So if he has in the field only fruit-bearing trees, and he made a stipulation, I'm selling it to you, except for the fruit-bearing trees. So yisle ilne, then labar milne. Then lekeach gets the field, except he does not get the fruit-bearing trees. Yisle dikle. What happens if this, he said, except for trees, and all that the field has was palm trees. So then levar medikle. Then it must be, because there's nothing else on the field, that he was referring, even though most people don't refer to a dekel as an elon. He meant the dekel, and he called it an elon. Ilesle, Iisle gufni, what happens if it has nothing else except vines? So then, labar mi gufni. Even though he said, labar mi ilni, must be, he was referring to vines as a tree. What happens if ilni vigufni, he has regular trees, and he has vines, and he said, labar mi ilni, so then, labar mi ilni, then he's not selling to him the fruit-bearing trees, but the vines, which are normally not called trees, they will be part of the mechira. Ilni vidikli, if the field had fruit-bearing trees and palms, so then the palms are not normally called ilni. So then labar meilni, the only thing he's not selling are the fruit-bearing trees. The palms will be included in the mechira. The lekeach will get them. And what happens finally if he said labar meilni, except for fruit-bearing trees? And what did he have in the field? He only had gufni vidikli. So we say, labar mi gufni. Out of the two, which one is more called an elon, more referred to by people as an elon? That will be the vines over the palm. And therefore, if he said, labar mi ilni, and he had gufni vidikli, we say, what does ilni mean in this case? It means gufni, and therefore the gufni are not included in the sale. However, dikli will say will not be in this case referred to as ilni, and they will be part of the sale.